Today I want us to look again in the book of Genesis, and the title of the message today will be The Ark, A Picture of Christ. I want us to begin reading in Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 13. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within, without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou, thy sons, thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. In verse 1 of chapter 7, And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Today, with the Lord's help, I want us to look here at this picture of the ark that God instructed Noah to build, and how that it is a perfect, beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. There are three arks that are mentioned in the Scriptures. The first one is the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the two tables of stone, the law of God that was written. It was placed in the ark under the mercy seat. The second one was the Ark of Bulrushes. You remember that Moses' parents held that Pharaoh intended to kill all the male children, and they built this ark and put Moses in it, and it protected him. It kept him from the wrath of the king. And then the third ark we have is this ark here that which God instructed Noah to build. And this ark was for the salvation, for the protection of Noah and his family. All these arks, all three of them, picture the grace of God and the salvation of God's chosen people. Noah and his family were saved by this ark. There was but one ark in the days of Noah. They wasn't two or three arks. There was only one ark. And all the world was destroyed. Every living creature, except for Noah and his family, and all those animals that God called into the ark. Apart from them, everything else died, everything else perished. And the only way that they were preserved, the only way that they were protected, the only way that they were kept safe, was by this ark, which God told Noah to build. There is none other name under heaven whereby men must be saved than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not two or three ways. There's not two or three arts. There's only one way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If a man is to be saved from the wrath of Almighty God, you must flee to the ark that God has prepared, the one that God has provided. It is the only refuge and place of safety for guilty sinners. The first thing I want us to look at, this ark was a planned ark. It says in Genesis 6:13-16, And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, In a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. God instructed Noah how to build this ark. This was not Noah's plan. This was God's plan. God planned it, purposed it, and God provided it. The ark was not an afterthought with God. Long before the flood came, God had provided a place of safety. God did not hurry around after it began to rain and say, "What am I going to do?" and try to figure out a means of saving Noah. God determined the size of the ark. He determined the material of the ark. God alone determined who would be saved by the ark. The ark was designed and stocked to house a specific number of people, both a man and beast. It was made exactly how God told Noah to make it. Noah didn't decide, "Well, this is how long I think I should make it, or how wide, or how tall." God told him how to make it. God told him to put one wind in it, one door in it, and put three levels in it. This is how God told him and instructed him. God determined where, how, and when the ark would be built. God determined this. In just the same way, the Lord God determined and purposed the salvation of His people before the world was ever made. It wasn't an afterthought. God didn't say, "Well, after Adam sinned, then God came up with a plan." God had a plan before the world was ever made. The Lord Jesus Christ was determined by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever made. The plan of salvation is not a path we follow to find God. It's the path God follows to find His elect. God's plan. As the ark was a provision of pure, free, sovereign grace, so Christ is the provision of God, a pure, free, sovereign grace. Not our plan. God's plan. God provided it. God purposed it on purpose to save Noah. To save Noah. And you know what it did? It saved Noah. And God's going to save His people. Why? He purposed it, planned it, and He's going to bring it to pass in His own time. Secondly, the ark was a sufficient ark. We see here in verse 15, the ark was about 450 feet long. 75 feet wide, so it was a little over 1.5 football fields long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. This is a pretty good size ark. God instructed Noah how to build it. This was a very large vessel. It would house Noah, his family, and all the animals, and all the food, and everything that they would need. This is what that ark was provided. This is how big it was made. God instructed Noah. Noah didn't know how big to build it. He didn't know. God did. And what's amazing is God told him. And in Hebrews it said that when God revealed this to Noah, Noah moved with fear. He believed God. Before it ever rained one drop, he believed God. The ark is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is an all-sufficient refuge for sinners of every kind. They were clean and they were unclean animals. They were ants, they were giraffes, they were elephants, and they all came into the ark. And the ark was sufficient to float through the storm of God's wrath. What if this ark sunk? It could not sink. It endured the wrath, the storm of God's judgment. Everybody outside the ark couldn't endure it. They perished. Why? They died under God's wrath. So our Savior is able, a sufficient. He's able to deliver all His people. All of them. All His elect that He chose before the foundation of the world. And He's going to bring them safely through the wrath of Almighty God. He's going to protect them. He's sufficient. He's all sufficient. Firstly, in this, the ark was sufficient. There was one door, and that was sufficient. One door. We don't know how big this door was. Someone said it was like a big gaping side in this ark. Well, this door was big enough where a giraffe could go through, wide enough for an elephant to go through. What does that say? Male or female, bond or free, rich or poor, all come through this one door. It's big enough for everybody that comes. One door, not two doors, one door. And this door was able to support their weight when they came up this door into the ark. There is but one door of salvation for sinners. The door was the size that God told Noah to make it. The door was able to support all who came by the door. Listen, our Lord said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. How are you going to get in the ark? There's only one way, one door, and that's by Jesus Christ, not some other way. Everybody wants to invent a new way. It wasn't the way Noah thought. God says, you make one door. One door. You say, well, we need two or three doors. No, one door. Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Not some preacher, not some priest, but by Jesus Christ. It's coming by Jesus Christ, and if you come any other way, you won't go into the ark. One way. The only way to enter into this ark, who's the picture of Christ, is by this one door. We can't come to God except as sinners in need of grace, trusting His Son. The door is sufficient, and it's a way of access. And when you come into this door, you have access to everything that's in the ark. All the benefits of being in the ark was through the door. Everything. Everything that you need. Everything that you'd ever want was in the ark. And how'd you get in the ark? Through the door. There was plenty of room for all who came in through that door. Everything that God can or will do for sinful men and women, He has done for them in Christ. Everything. And all that He can or will require of the sinner, He has supplied in Christ. It's all in Christ. Well, everything Noah needed was in Christ. Everything those animals needed was in Christ, was in the ark. And all that God can or will give to a sinner, He has given to a sinner in Christ. It's not partly in the ark and partly on the outside of the ark. Everything that God provided to save Noah and to keep him safe and to preserve him and to protect him from God's wrath was in that ark. No other place. In the ark. Do you see the picture? It's so clear. It's so plain. It's plain when you've entered into the ark. When God gave you faith to enter in. How do you enter in? Through the door. There's one door. Excuse me. And there's one window. One small window in the top of the ark. Only measured 18 inches by 18 inches. You said that seems so small. Now listen. Now this is not a porthole in the side of the ship. It's in the top of the ship. The window was for what purpose? To let light in. This pictures Christ, who in Him is life, and He is the light of the world. The window, now listen, the window did not let light in to the outside world. You had to be in the ark to see the light, and you have to be in Christ to see His glory. You won't see it anywhere else. Do you see what faith brings you to see? You see His glory, but you had to be in the ark. Even our Lord's own half-brothers and sisters saw no glory. You know why? They were not in the ark. If God ever opens your eyes and you're able to see Christ, you behold His glory. Can you imagine being in that ark and the door shut and everything closed in, and you look up and in that little small window, here comes this glory shining in. That one window was enough. It gave light to all that were in the ark, and it was all the light that they needed. I don't need any other light. It's in Him. John said, we beheld His glory. This light was that it may illuminate the inside of the ark. This represents the Holy Spirit of God, through whom Christ, the light of the world, the Son of righteousness, shines into the hearts of sinful men. Noah and the rest of his family and everybody else and all the animals that were in the ark were not to be looking down on the scene of destruction beneath, and all around them was death. But they were to look upward to God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. It's looking to Christ. Why do we look to Him? He's the one who brought me in the ark. How do I see His glory? In the ark. Something else. The ark had three stories. Now this can represent, I believe, the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But you don't see this and understand this till you come into the ark. On the outside of the ark, you see one ark. You see Christ, His humanity. But when you enter the ark through the door and the light shines in through the window, you see all the work of the Godhead in the salvation of the sinner. Three distinct works, but one person. And all this is to save those who are in the ark. God the Father, read Ephesians chapter 1. God the Father chose before the foundation of the world. God elected a people. Then the Lord Jesus Christ came and redeemed and shed His blood to redeem those people that the Father gave Him before the world was ever made. But then God sends His Spirit to quicken and regenerate dead sinners. All work together. And when you come into the ark, you understand this. How did I get in the ark? God chose me. The Son redeemed me. And the Spirit called me. Three stories. Christ is the fullness of the Godhead in a body. He is to be in that ark. And you don't understand this till God brings you in the ark. Something else. Noah was called to enter the ark. Chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said to Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me this generation." Noah and his family came into the ark by divine invitation. I know on one side, when we look at this, when God calls, it is a command. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Yet when this invitation comes to a needy, helpless, guilty sinner, it's the sweetest, most gracious invitation you've ever heard. He said, Noah, come. Are you weak and heavy laden? Come. Are you thirsty? Come. Do you see yourself under the wrath of God? What's the word? Come. Who invited him? God invited him. Every time the gospel is preached, sinners are invited to come. Come where? Come to the ark. Come into Christ. And if you God ever opens your eyes, you know what you'll do? You'll come. You'll come. That's the message today. Come to Christ. If you believe that judgment's coming, come to Christ. If you're needy, come. All the fitness He requires for you to enter in is you to feel your need of Him. That's all it is. People say, "Well, I don't need Him." Okay, well, don't come. You know what will happen if you don't come? You'll perish under God's wrath. And this is what Noah preached to those people as he prepared this ark. He was a preacher of righteousness. If God had not revealed Himself to Noah and called him to the ark, he would have perished with everybody else. This was a divine call. A divine call. It was a personal call. It was a particular call. And it was a distinguishing call. He said, "Noah." Our Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they'll follow me." And they're coming. Why? He called them. Noah's family benefited from this call, but only Noah was called. This was a sovereign, powerful, effectual, irresistible call. Cannot be resisted. He wanted to come. And when he was called, he went in. When this irresistible call comes to a sinner, it makes him willing in the day of God's power. When Noah was called, he fled to Christ the ark. And all who hear his voice to enter into the ark, as they are called by the gospel, they come. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart and come. Don't say, I'll take my chances. I think I can build me an own boat. Let me tell you, you'll perish. And it's not anywhere else. It's in Christ. If anybody else tells you to look anywhere else, they're a deceiver. It's in Christ. That's the picture here. That's the picture of this whole book. It's in Christ and nowhere else. The ark is a picture of the atonement. In the ark, we see a picture of the atonement of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see two things here. Now listen. Noah was commanded, in verse 14 of chapter 6, he was commanded to cover the ark. He says, thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. This word pitch simply means to cover or to take away. The pitch was a covering which sheltered Noah and all that were in the ark from the terrible storm of God's wrath. It protected it. It sealed it. Kept the water out. Kept the judgment out. If you ever see anything, you may paint a picture of anything, and if you see Noah in the ark, and it's Noah running around trying to stop up water hose, and that ain't how it was. They wasn't one drop of water entered that ark. You know why? It was protected. It was sealed. It was covered. Noah was sheltered in the ark from this terrible storm of God's wrath. As the mercy seat was sprinkled with the blood of Christ, of that sacrificial lamb, and covered the broken law, we are protected from God's wrath. God said, told the children of Israel, said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. This is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood that made an atonement, at-one-ment for sin. The pitch without represents redemption accomplished. You know what it is? When Jesus Christ died, he accomplished salvation for somebody. And if Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, had died for all men, nobody would ever perish. But his blood secured and sealed all who were in the ark. It accomplished it. The pitch within represents redemption applied. God applies it to your heart. He sprinkles that blood on your conscience. The storm of God's wrath fell upon the ark with all of its fury and all of its wrath. As the rains descended and the depths of the earth were broken up, the angry billows of God's wrath beat down upon that ark. But everyone in the ark, everybody in the ark, went through the storm of God's wrath. But only the ark felt the punishment. Do you see the picture? It fell upon Christ, the substitute. When Christ was made to be sin for us, the terrible storm of God's wrath fell with full force upon him, until God's wrath was fully satisfied. I can just see the waves bashing against the side of the ark. The rain descending upon the ark. It endured the wrath. And how was it able to endure it? His blood. All the sacrifices in the Old Testament could not take away one sin. But when Jesus Christ died and shed his blood, it made full and complete atonement for sin. And that's the only thing that can save you from the wrath of Almighty God. It's not your works, it's not your efforts, it's the pitch, it's the atonement, it's the blood. When Christ hung upon the cross, he died as our substitute. And he cried, "All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." As all those who were in the ark went through the flood, so all God's elect have come through the storm of his holy wrath. You know why? Because when Jesus Christ died, we were in him. And when he died, we died. And he took the wrath of God for us. He took the punishment. Having once endured God's wrath, Noah had no cause to fear another flood. God said, "I'll never do it again." And every time Noah looked up and saw the rainbow, which was a promise of Almighty God, he remembered God's promise that God would never destroy the world again with a flood like this. All who are in Christ, now listen to me, all who are in Christ will never have to endure to any degree, nor at any time, any of God's wrath. Why? He punished my substitute. All the wrath came against the ark. Why? He was made sin. Safety is in the ark. In verse 16 of chapter 7, it says, the last part of the verse. No, verse 16, "And they that were went in, male and female, and all flesh, as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut him in." The Lord brought him in, the Lord shut him in, and the Lord kept him in. The ark was a place of peace and rest for those who were in the ark. God shut him in. That's good news. Who shut him in? God did. Who shut? Noah could have never picked up that door. God shut the door. God sealed the door, and God shut him in. God shut us up in Christ before the world was made. And we're kept. Kept. That's good news. To a hell-deserving sinner. Though Noah and his family may have been tossed about in the ark, they were safe. And let me tell you, if you're his, if God has showed you mercy and God has called you by his grace and brought you into his ark, you may have trials, you may have afflictions, but you're safe in the ark. In the ark. Satan cannot harm you. The law cannot condemn you. And the Lord Jesus Christ cannot fail. He cannot fail to save all who trust in him. That's what this ark pictures. This is not just some little story. This is a picture of how God Almighty saves sinners. Isn't that such a clear picture? And I'm glad God is still calling his people to himself. And my question to you today is, are you in the ark? It is not, if not, my advice to you is flee from the wrath to come. Come to Christ. Come to Christ, the ark of salvation. If you hear his voice today, flee from the wrath to come. Run to him. Look to him. Rest in him. And when you come, you'll see. You behold his glory. May God take this message and use it for his honor and for his glory. Till next week, may God bless you. Amen.